Welcome to the second installment about being a savvy kosher consumer and the unauthorized OU. I want to stress that the OU is very vigilant about protecting its trademark, and on occasion there's mislabelings, but the OU is very aggressive in pursuing corrective action. Let me go through different scenarios, how they happen, and what the OU does. Each year, the OU investigates a few hundred incidences of questionable use of the OU symbol. Very often, our web staff people, the people who do consumer responses, or the hotline person, Rabbi David Polsky, can give the consumer, yes, this product is in fact certified. What happens when they say, well, we're not finding that product in our database? What happens then? So the OU will request a copy of the label. It's critical that we have a copy of the label before we can investigate something. We've had a number of times where it's been reported to us as an unauthorized OU by consumers or even mashkichim in the field. And then when we get the label, or the person looks at the label and says, oh, I made a mistake, it's not an OU, it's a different symbol. So one of our standard operating procedures is we must have the label in hand. Also, when you approach a company and you say you're using our trademark, they'll start saying, what OU? I never saw it. I don't know what the OU is. It's best when you can present it to them with a copy of the label. Standard operating procedure is when we have a product which we're not finding in our database, we'll start off by requesting the label from the consumer, get it, and then our trademark compliance department will do a more thorough check and see maybe this product was entered incorrectly. Maybe we can track it down within our system. If we can't, then we send out what we call a letter of inquiry. Letter of inquiry is a firm but demanding a quick response from the company saying your product, see attached, has an OU symbol on it, and we don't have it as authorized to bear that symbol, our trademark. Give them 24 hours to respond and hope that the company will respond very shortly. We follow up with a phone call to make sure they understand the issue and its importance. The vast majority of cases which we investigate end up being what we call unregistered private labels, or they could be even unregistered products. Products being made in OU plant, but yet the paperwork was not done. The company can be making cereal for 10 different supermarkets. They registered 9 but neglected to register the 10th. Or a manufacturer could be making for himself 50 varieties of cookies and cakes and forgets and registers 49 but forgets to register the 50th. Fortunately, it's all being made in an OU plant. It's all kosher. And it's just a matter of catching up on the paperwork and putting that product into the database. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes the product is not being made in an OU plant. In the good cases, when we're lucky, it's being made in a plant with a reliable hashgacha. It can be a result of a label transfer, which, by the way, is prohibited in our contracts. We don't allow labels or packaging material to be transferred out of the plant without OU authorization. But sometimes it happens anyway, which is a breach of contract and also trademark infringement. If the labels end up in a plant which has a reliable hashgacha, we will then verify it, and then we fortunately don't have to demand a recall. We don't have to issue consumer alerts. But then there are cases where we do have a serious concern. Product being made in a non-certified plant. Products which are not certifiable. Or products being made in an OU plant, but maybe that plant got in the wrong ingredients. Very often we can stop that product from going out the door when the mashkiach catches it, or the company catches it, and then we don't have a withdrawal. But sometimes the product has made it out the door. And the company, you know, is very dedicated to their kosher program, but their supplier, instead of sending them their usual oil, sent in an oil without a hashgacha or an unreliable hashgacha. And the receiving doc didn't notice the change, and it made it out the door. What happens then? Well, one thing we do is we will issue consumer alerts. It'll identify the product, the brand name, the company, and say the following product is not certified, is not kosher, whatever the case may be. And we will put this on our website. We will send it out to thousands of consumers who have subscribed. By the way, if you have email, you should subscribe for the OU alerts. You can log on our website and ask and request to be subscribed. You'll not only get the alerts, but you'll also get information about newly certified products. And in addition, we send what we like to call a nastygram, which is a cease and desist. Even if it's a OU client, we send them a formal letter saying that they have infringed upon our trademark, and we demand corrective action. We demand that they stop selling the product. We demand that the product, which is already on the retail level or in the hands of distributors, either be withdrawn, recalled, or the OU blocked out. Whenever possible, we try to cause the company the least financial harm. It doesn't benefit anybody by going through the cost of a product recall. It's expensive, they lose shelf space, it frustrates consumers, non-kosher consumers who want to buy that product. If we can, in a fairly efficient amount of time, have the OU blocked out, that is our primary choice of approach for corrective action, because it's the least costly to the company involved. But we only will agree to that if it can be done in a fairly expeditious manner. We can't allow products to remit with an unauthorized OU, which are not kosher, to remain on a shelf for an extended period of time without the corrective action. We will also send in mashkichim or other, it doesn't have to be a trained person. We will sometimes ask housewives, the wives of mashkichim or the local rabbis, to ask them, their wives, or to check the stores that a recall has been thoroughly done. And if it hasn't been done, we'll follow up and make sure it is done. Now, what I just told you works great when a company wants to cooperate. And most of the time, companies will cooperate. They understand they've made a mistake, and I'd say almost always it's a mistake, because the cost in dealing with a recall or the threat of a lawsuit for trademark infringement makes it very rare that a company will intentionally put the OU symbol on, an unauthorized OU symbol on. But what happens to the company who doesn't want to cooperate? What tools are available to the OU to make sure that the product is withdrawn, the consumer's interests are protected? Well, first and foremost, we turn to governmental agencies, because their actions are a lot quicker than the OU going into court. Many states have kosher laws on their books, and we will contact the appropriate agency. We have binders by state, what laws they have and whom to contact. And we will contact them and ask them to assist in this recall, because we're having a difficult time with the company involved. But that may not be enough. There's states involved which don't have kosher laws, or we may want a dual approach. If a company refuses to cooperate, we can go into court and request a temporary restraining order. Temporary restraining order is a court order that says you have to immediately stop this damaging action which you are doing. In order to do that, the OU has to demonstrate the harm being done, the immediate and severe harm being done to our symbol and the kosher consumers. And we even have to post a bond, because what you're doing is you're asking the court to tie this company's hands. Before you can get a temporary restraining order, you have to put up a bond, because maybe you're just trying to harass this company or cause them harm. And if it's proven that you were making up these stories, or your intention was just to harm the company, you could lose that bond. So it's a wonderful judicial system we have, and to protect the interest of both parties, because not always is the plaintiff, the one who's complaining, have a legitimate case. But the OU, when we go to court, we certainly do. It's not our first avenue of approach. It's very expensive, costly to the OU, to our lawyers, the time they invest in it, in preparing a case. But when necessary, when we fail to get the cooperation of a company, we will be forced to do that. By the way, it's not just New York, New Jersey, which have kosher laws. I remember receiving a call from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture inquiring about a company which they walked into and found them packing with OU packaging. They found other serious agricultural violations, and they said wanted to know if that plant was in fact authorized to pack with the OU, and the answer is it wasn't. So it's not only the OU watching, it's consumers watching, but it's even governmental agencies around the country which can be watching and helping us protect our mark and the kosher consumers' interests. I started off mentioning that consumers reporting suspicious products, inquiring about the authenticity, but it's not only consumers, it's an army of mashkichim across the world. The OU employs over 350 mashkichim, either on a part-time or full-time basis. And they regularly will be looking at products when they visit plants or when they go to supermarkets. My wife hates shopping with me because I will regularly look at a product, turn it over, look at can codes, look at company information, and I have developed the ability to spot a suspicious product and check it and bring it to the office, check it out the next day. So, and in addition, we conduct supermarket audits where we will ask some of our mashkichim, our supervisors, we'll provide them with a list of the products which are authorized to bear the OU symbol, ask them to go into their local supermarket, AMP, Albertsons, Publix, ShopRite, whatever the case may be, and look for products which are not included on that list. So we could actively spot products which may be unauthorized. Hopefully they'll be kosher, the unregistered product, but it's our duty not only to wait for products to be reported, but actively go out and verify. And this is done on a regular basis, as I said, through supermarket audits and through mashkichim who are traveling around the globe. I know many mashkichim, when they're traveling, they go on a few-day trips and they're away from home. So at night, instead of they're stuck in a hotel, they'll spend time learning, but instead of turning on the TV, they'll be more productive. They'll go to the supermarket and conduct a quick audit, look for suspicious products, and call me. As far as consumers or mashkichim, I encourage them to contact us and inquire, and I'll tell them, when in doubt, buy the product. We'll pay for the cost of the product, the shipping. Preferably, we ask if it can be faxed or emailed, scanned in the copy of the label when needed. But if necessary, we'll have them ship it, because in protecting the integrity of the OU symbol is paramount. It's critical. If we want consumers to rely on us, we need to be very protective of our mark. That's why we have registered the symbol not only in the United States, but in many other countries, the European Union, Canada, Israel, and it's pending in a number of other countries, Australia, Mexico. We do that in order to be able to better take legal action when necessary, or at least for the potential company to know that this symbol is a registered symbol, it's protected by the law, and we will do whatever is necessary to enforce our rights.